Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, we got to talk to you about Ancestry, because you know what? How are you ever going to really know who you are if you don't know where you came from?
Yeah.
Isn't that from a movie or something?
Yeah, I think it's from Chinatown.
Is it?
Relax, Jake. You don't know where you are.
Anyway, so Ancestry is awesome. Basically, they send you a DNA kit in the mail. You swab your mouth. It's painless if you do it right.
Yeah, so it's your mouth. You just swab your mouth.
You just swab your mouth.
You don't have to go into the other hole.
No. You take a swab. You send it back. It's that easy, right? Then what they can do is they can tell you the entire history of where you came from, where your family came from. And like, they can do step by step. They can do geographics, where when your family moved from one area to another. I mean, they can get down to pretty specific stuff in your family tree. It's fascinating. It sounds like it could be cool, but then when you do it, you're like, this is amazing. It's like when somebody reads your horoscope and it's dead on.
Yeah.
Only it's real.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Cool. Yeah, and you did this?
Yeah. And guess what? Turns out, my mom's uncle was Vern Gagne.
Oh,
hold on to your dick.
Yeah, he created the AWA. Yeah,
usually people don't know this unless they're from Minnesota.
Yeah, no, I know this because, I mean, like, he was, like, one of the best, biggest pro wrestler, like, promoters in the history of
He discovered Hulk Hogan.
He did.
Yeah.
He was completely destroyed by Vince McMahon. Like, Vince McMahon stole all, like, his territory from him.
So I looked up Vern Gagne to get the whole story.
Because now you found out that you're a blood relative.
Yes. And he started by holding wrestling matches in his barn, like out back, like real style, like barn wrestling. It's crazy. He like built a ring, and then he had wrestlers come over, and farmers would come watch. It's hard to get Midwestern farmers in the 50s to watch Greco-Roman style wrestling because it's way too sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
So go to Ancestry.com/2dads. That's the number 2 and dads today for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Find out who you are. Find out what you're made of. And you can do that for cheaper with us. So go to Ancestry.com/2dads today for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/2dads, 20% off. And, you know, start figuring out who you are. Yeah. You're like Luke Skywalker, and you don't even know Darth Vader's your dad.
Exactly. Ancestry. Get swabbed. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's your dad, Julian McCullough.
It's your pa, Sean Potter. What up?
Hey, before we get started, I went over our reviews a little bit, which I never do because I don't want to see
you
anything.
You don't like
I don't
reading
see.
Reviews. Yeah.
I don't. But we have 166 reviews. We got up. We went up.
Yeah.
We were a 4 an hour, 4.5.
That's great.
And they're all pretty positive, the last few. And so let's keep that going. It made me feel good, and I want to keep reading those. Jesselnik's show has 2,170 reviews, so we only have to get 2,000 more reviews.
Yeah, to be almost as popular.
Yeah, so guys.
Please.
Go rate and review us on
iTunes.
Rate
and review, and say nice things. I do like reading nice things, but I also like reading negative things. So if you want to like criticize.
Well, constructively. I'm open to.
I would like to know. I like to know when we talk over each other. That makes me happy. But I don't need. Don't call me like a limp dick for no reason. That always hurts.
I mean, what if it's for a reason?
I mean, if you know that my dick is always limp, then yeah, sure, comment on it.
Man, how easy would your life be if your limp was always dick?
My dick was always limp?
Yeah. Like, if you just could never, you just knew you could never get hard, your life would be, you'd be like a, you'd speak 7 languages and fucking know calculus too.
Yeah, I mean, you probably would, but like, there is that thing of, in like Wolf of Wall Street when they were talking, like Matthew McConaughey is talking about how much you have to jerk off. Yeah, like when you have to jerk off. And it does really relieve stress, so a limp dick would not be helpful.
I like how he's like, you got to do it twice a day. I don't want to do it. You have to do it. And if you get really good at it, you can do it while you're thinking about money. You know what's interesting as a father when you watch that movie is the scene where he gets into a fight and Margot Robbie wants a divorce. So he runs in and gets his daughter out of bed, who's like, looks five.
Mm-hmm.
Gets her out of bed. He's all coked up. And he runs downstairs, gets in his car, puts her in the car, crashes through the garage door, and then crashes into a statue in his driveway with his daughter in the car. That's one of those scenes where before you're a dad, you're like, oh, man, that's fucked up. And then while you're a dad, you're watching it with your hands over your eyes. You're like, I can't even watch this.
I know. I feel like Scorsese really never does well with parenting. Like, there's never a good dad in his movies.
Right. That's true. Yeah, they're all pretty monstrous. Yeah. Although Pesci in Goodfellas was a good dad, remember? He showed up in the morning after being out all night murdering people, and then he would come back and he made pancakes and bacon for his kids.
See, that's the nicest thing that ever happened from a dad in a Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I would even say, like, absentee father is a running theme in all Scorsese movies. Like, even if you think of, like, Hugo, the movie about the French robot.
Well, who's not thinking about Hugo?
Yeah, like, I mean, that, like, the dad's not present. Like, every movie... What is he trying to say? But yet his mom's in all of his early movies, too. So it's weird.
It is weird.
Maybe...
I've never looked up Scorsese's dad.
No, me neither. But, like, Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Hey, Teague,
like...
let's get Scorsese as a guest, and we'll ask him about his dad.
Got it.
All right, cool.
Oh, my God, that'd be so great. I have so many questions.
I bet he has a Hotmail.
Yeah. How you dadding?
How my dadding? Pretty good. It was Lulu's birthday. It was her fifth birthday. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. She got Legos and, what else? Dresses and all kind of stuff. Oh, this is a good moment to talk about. So I knew that, when you have two kids, like, and one of them has a birthday, especially if they're close in age and same sex, I'm guessing, shit gets real when one of them gets a bunch of presents and the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So I cautioned Goldie before it happened. I was like, look, I know you're excited for Lulu's birthday. We all are. She's going to open a lot of presents, and I don't want to see, like, snatching. I don't want to see, you know, like, any kind of just any, I don't want to see any shitty behavior. It's a happy day. You should be happy for your sister, and she's going to be the same way for you on your birthday. You know what I mean? Like, it's all going to be fine. We all have enough stuff. It's fine. So I basically talked to her like that. And
like George Carlin, because you're like, well, there's too much stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, we're going to get another box of bullshit. I don't know. I don't care about Carlin. Anyway, the day happened and she opened it, and Goldie went the other, like she overdid it, where she was like, Lulu, that's amazing.
Yeah.
She was like over the top. Like,
I feel nothing.
I feel nothing but great feelings for you. And but I could tell it was wearing on her a little bit. So then at the end of the present opening session, she was like, Meg was like, okay, Lulu, time to call family and thank them, right? And she's like, okay. So I was like, this is a good time. So I pull Goldie outside and I'm like, how's it going? How are you feeling? And she was like, and I was like, remember we talk about, like, I always want you to tell me how you're feeling. It's how you act that you can get in trouble for, but you can never get in trouble for how you're feeling. So how are you feeling right now? And she, like, broke down, and in a normal voice, because she uses a lot of fake voices when she's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
In a normal voice, she was like, and this, like, pained smile, like she was about to cry. She was like, I'm feeling pretty jealous. And I was, like, so relieved that she admitted that, because it's really hard to get her to talk about her feelings.
Yeah.
And she,
because she's human.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they're not. So I was like, well, that's great. You know, and we had a moment where we talked about that it's okay to feel jealous, and, you know, that's totally natural and human and all that. And I gave her a hug, and I said, doesn't it feel better to just, like, get it out instead of, like, acting out and, like, doing something crappy to somebody? It's like, just say, I'm feeling jealous right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, and, you know, she was that was a good moment. And then later they got into a fight over a doll. But
No, I mean, that will happen.
Yeah.
That sounds like your dad did pretty well.
Yeah, shit's getting real, but it's, you know, it really did feel good afterwards. But it is something that I gotta work on. There's some underlying issues that now we've been talking about it for too long, but I'm in therapy, and I was talking to my therapist about it, and he had some really good ideas about what's going on and how I can work on it.
That's
good. So I'll revisit after I use those. God, how are you, Dad? Nolan was sick, right?
Nolan got his first stomach bug from daycare. So at daycare, they send us like constant updates, mm-hmm. and they sent us a note saying like, hey, there's a stomach bug going around, so if your kid shows any symptoms, wait 24 hours. Mm-hmm. They sent this like an hour after we dropped him off, and then that night he got sick. So now I'm just thinking they saw somebody like barf in his mouth. They were like, we got to write a note to them, tell them, hey.
Yeah, cover their tracks.
Yeah, he's probably going to throw up a lot. So that sucked. It's so sad to see
a
sick kid.
The helplessness.
He's so helpless. And like yesterday, like he like stayed up all night barfing and he just kept throwing up and throwing up and throwing up. And then he like passed out and he was like fine. He was fine.
Was he dry heaving after a while?
No, he was finding the strength.
He was digging deep
and the juice to barf it up later. But as he was doing it, he like passed out, and you're like, okay, fine, phew. He woke up and he was like full of life. So we were like, yeah. Oh, cool. That like
he's all better.
That turned the corner immediately. So then he like spent the whole day not throwing up, and then we got him his bottle ready to go to sleep, and it was milk, and he just started throwing that up again. So
we were
like, fuck. So now. Now he's better, but we know not to give him milk.
It's weird. Kid sicks are so weird because that's like a really common thing where they'll be sick and then they'll be better for a whole day and then they're not done. It's
I
so
know.
Strange.
It's so weird. I would love to know their body. I'm shocked because also knowing that this bug is going around and me being there like around him mm-hmm. and like cleaning up his throw up. It kind of felt like my wife and I, we were both just like bitten by a zombie and we were just waiting for it to take hold. And like, we're like, oh, there's the stomach bug a-brewing. Like,
yeah.
But it hasn't happened yet.
Did you do that thing where you go secretly puke in the bathroom and then come out like, I'm fine. I didn't know. I didn't get bit.
Yeah. No, not yet. But I will say, like, I have. Maybe it's psychosomatic. But
you would definitely be the Paul Reiser in the house.
Yeah, 100%. Are you talking about Mad About You?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
it's kids sick are terrible, man.
It's just so gross, and I feel like no throw up smells as bad as kid throw up.
But you know what's even worse than that? And that's bad. When they're throwing up and they can't stop, you feel so bad for them. And mm-hmm. they're like freaking out. And kind
oh,
of
yeah. No. He was like, he would throw up, then he'd just start crying. And then he'd stop crying for a second just to throw up more. Like, oh, no. This is a disaster.
It's like, so the only thing worse than that for me is the dry night cough. Holy shit. When they get a cough that's like takes 2 weeks and they just cough all night long and you can't tell if they're awake. Usually they're sleeping through it, but you can't tell. And then sometimes they cough so much, you're like, they got to be awake. And then sometimes they do wake themselves up, but you hear the whole thing and it just sounds like your kid has like fucking typhoid or some shit the whole time.
Oh,
it's terrible. You're lucky you haven't had that yet.
No, but my kid coughs all the time. And it's like whenever no one's paying attention to him, he just starts coughing.
Yeah. But you live in black mold Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my whole house. It's mostly mold. It looks like Stranger Things.
Like, but you got a deal, right?
I got a deal.
It looks like Stranger Things. All right, but that's how we're dad.
Yeah, and this is a very special episode of Your Two Dads.
Yes.
We don't have a guest, and not because we couldn't book one. We could have easily booked one.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It's not like we were turned down by a
bunch of people. Banging down the doors. The good news is, if you've enjoyed this episode so far, you're going to love the rest of the episode
because it's gonna be Coach T.
What's going on?
Hey, Coach T.
Asking us lots of questions.
Yeah. I never realized how unsexy our voices were until he spoke into
the
microphone.
No. Come on,
no, you guys are professionals.
Yeah. I want to roll my bean right now. So yeah. we're just doing a Coach T's joining us.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do a 2-on-1. It's a 2-on-1.
Yeah. It's a Coach T is double teaming us.
So when we come back, we're going to answer some parenting questions with Coach T. We'll be right back. Hey, Sean, let me ask you something.
Yeah, go for it. Chief.
How much time do you spend in front of your phone or your computer?
Oh, my God. How many hours in a day? I sleep for 7, so I guess 17?
Well, you know that's bad for your eyes, right? That's why...
No.
That's why we started wearing Movement's EverScroll blue light filtering glasses. They're built to protect our eyes from blue light that's known to cause eye strain, discomfort, and poor sleeping patterns.
Should I wear these while I'm sleeping?
I think you should. The reason these glasses are cool is they protect your eyes from looking at a computer screen too long, right?
Which I do all day long, and I'm not even lying when I say this. Everyone is always saying, hey, why are you squinting so much?
Yeah.
And I think it's because I'm slowly going blind. Will this help?
Yes, absolutely. And the best part is, the best part is that they're helping your eyeballs.
Yeah.
But the second best part is they're movement glasses, so they're cool. Like, you can choose from all these frames that look like awesome, like, cool glasses.
They got aviators?
Yeah, they got aviators. They got aviators. They got the Harry Potter kind. I'm sure they have real styles that they want us to quote, but our listeners get what we're saying.
They got Top Gun. They got Harry Potter. They got Under the Silver Lake.
Yeah.
They got Teen Wolf shade tipping.
The average person spends almost 7 hours a day in front of a screen. Movement's blue light glasses help us to change our habits so that we can keep up with a changing technological world and look cool doing it. You can wear these glasses all over the city.
Yeah.
And no one will be like, why is that guy wearing fake glasses? They'll be like, ooh.
Who's
that smarty pants?
Yeah. Who's that Harvard grad?
EverScroll blue light filtering glasses start at just $65. Whether you're at the office, scrolling through your phone, or unwinding from a long day, EverScroll glasses have you covered.
I always say, the Movement asked us to say that this is the three B's: better focus, better sleep, better style.
There you go. And you can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/2dads. That's MVMT.com/2andDads for 15% off with free shipping and free returns.
Go to MVMT.com/2dads, #2dads. Join the movement. I've always thought the three B's were butts, boobies, and vaginas.
Well, that's our next ad. And we're back.
We're back.
It's me, it's you, Sean.
It's Coach T.
And Coach T is here filling in to ask us questions.
All right, I'm so
excited. We have no prior knowledge of these questions. Hold on. Before we get into any of this, we should let our listeners know that you are not just some dude. You're our producer, but you also have a background in dealing with kids.
Oh, yes.
So just tell our listeners a little bit what you do.
I work with at-risk youth. I'm a wrestling coach.
Mm-hmm.
I used to run a few programs, and now I just volunteer.
I believe they're called wrestling managers.
Okay.
That's what they call them in WWE. Coach.
Okay. Collegiate style. Collegiate style.
Oh, okay. You go Greco-Roman.
Yeah. With the tights on.
That's the sexy one.
Yeah.
Is that why they're at risk? Is because they're constantly being held in headlocks?
They're at risk of coming too fast.
All right. So,
sorry, keep going. We won't interrupt your background anymore.
So I work in a place that instead of just locking the kid up, they try to treat the family and they try to treat the community. And they sit down and they try to address the root of the problems. And
that's amazing. That sounds like the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, it's worth it.
I would say so. You learn a lot. You just learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about people. I have no answers. I just a lot of observations.
Okay.
All right. So with that said,
I've never believed this more until right now. Coach T's in the CIA. He changed the subject so fucking quick. Having said that, here's some questions.
What age are you guys comfortable with your kids having sex? Comfortable.
With each other?
No.
Well, I want Nolan to at least be 13. Yeah. I would say you can go first. The boy answer is probably easier. I don't know.
I don't know if it's easier.
I think it's the same.
Because I'm an Irish Catholic boy, so I'm a prude by nature.
Right.
And I mean, like, he's going
to. No, you just said the opposite. You're an Irish Catholic boy, so you're approved by nurture. By nurture. Nature.
Yeah, by nurture. Yeah, sure.
By nature, you're a normal human being.
I don't even know about that. I think I was born without a dick, and I've lived my life with not dick.
Okay.
Okay. So I feel like for me, I'm just not going to ever think about it.
Cool.
I mean, like, if
that's definitely keeping that train rolling.
Yeah. If he wants to pork it up, we can pork it up. Whatever he wants. I just hope he's safe. I will tell him about. I'll teach him how to put a condom on using a banana and my mouth. I don't even know. I can't talk about sex without joking about it, because
right.
it is okay. that ingrained to me. But I do think, like, if he's gonna have sex at 14 because he's growing up in LA, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't tell me about it.
Like, that reminds me of, so Caitlin Palufo opened for me in Michigan in Detroit mm-hmm. recently. And she had this great joke about how her sex ed teacher taught her how to put a condom on a banana. And she's like, that's actually not the hardest part. The hardest part is convincing the banana to wear a condom.
That's funny.
Okay. So you're not answering.
My answer is I'll probably talk to him about it when he's 13 years old.
That's way too late, dude.
Is it?
Yes.
What?
T. To even bring it up?
Dude, I didn't even find out about fingering till I was 12, and that was like at a Catholic school.
How has your sexual maturity been?
I mean, I'm still not there yet. I hear that women peak at 38, and I am hoping I fall into that camp.
No, that's fine. If you want to wait till 13, when he already knows more than you do.
Yeah, but like, you really think like...
I'm not saying this is the talk where you tell him to go fuck somebody.
No,
I'm saying,
I don't think that's what the talk is, Julia. You don't sit your kid down. It's like, you better get laid or you're not allowed in this house.
Oh, man.
Like, I feel like 13, I think they're mature enough, like, to talk about it then.
I agree. I just know that other people are going to think we're saying that's too that are going to say that's too old.
Who?
You know, these
fucking
people. Realists.
Yeah.
I would say for talking about sex and I mean, I don't even know. Am I supposed to do it? I'm the dad and I have a daughter. I have two, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
What age are you comfortable with her? Going that far with
it. Oh, wait, what was the original question? Was it when to have the talk or when are they allowed to have sex?
When are you comfortable with it?
Oh, that was the question. So you said 13. Got it.
No. When am I comfortable with it? 18.
18? Good luck with that.
Well, no, I know it's not going to happen, but that's when...
Have you seen Nolan? He's so hot.
He's a little hunk. But, like, in my parental brain, like, I think I could fathom my two-year-old who's 2 years old fucking at 18. Like, he's two. So I only see him as this little child.
Right.
Okay. So, like, in terms of that, I'm like, let's get him to 18, and then he could fucking fuck everyone on the Sunset Strip.
Well, I think that's a good strategy, is to always see your child as you wish to see him in your mind, and that way you never have to deal with who he really is.
Exactly. I mean, he's two. I know who he really is right now. The thing is the true mystery is, I feel like once you hit high school, like 14, mm-hmm. that's when your parents don't know who you are anymore,
because right,
that's like when you've learned to...
You shut your door all the time.
Yeah, that's when you've learned to like fake it around them.
Right.
So like, I know that's going to happen, but at 18, he's an adult, and I'm like, yeah, that dude's ripping ass.
Well, he'll already be in Florida doing choreographed boy band dances, because he's going to be famous by 14, that kid. I'm going to say, would I be comfortable?
Comfortable.
You know, I would be comfortable. You're not asking when I think they're gonna, or when I think you should be allowed.
When you're like, oh, this
when
is okay.
I'm comfortable, you know, I think sex, I think young people are generally mature-wise not old enough to handle what sex is until they're like fucking 22 years old. Like, I think that... You have no concept or perspective on what it really means to do it until you're older than everybody starts doing it. And so my answer is, I'm comfortable with them starting at like 23. Do I think that's going to happen? Fuck no. But that's what I think. No. That's what I think you're like actually mature enough to understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
And to enjoy
it. Which is confusing because in Julian's late 20s, he was with a lot of 18-year-olds.
No, that is not true. You always make that joke about me. It's not true.
What childhood experience can you think back that truly affected you? Positive or negative? You're like, I'm different after that shit.
Oh, I have a few. The first one that comes to mind is
that time that clown jerked you off.
Nah, it wasn't that great, so I was just like, all right. Clowns, he didn't make me laugh once. When I was, must have been 5 years old, my parents split for a year. Uh-huh. And at the time, I didn't know why till I was like 20. It doesn't really matter right now because at five, I didn't understand why. They just did.
It was because you sucked?
I knew it was my fault. It was because I couldn't ride a bike fast enough. My mom started seeing this dude named Stacy, which is hard enough to get over as a five-year-old. You're like, he has a girl name? What the f-? As I recall, he looked exactly like George Costanza, but without the glasses.
Wow, and his name was Stacy?
Yeah.
That is not a Stacy look. Like, my mind, Stacy would have had a mullet at that time.
The way I remember this guy, I'm like, it can't be accurate because my mom was attractive. And I'm like, it must have been this thing where, like, my five-year-old brain made this dude look like Costanza and give him a girl name. Yeah. Like, I was just like, it was like self-defense mechanisms left and right.
Yeah. He had a 15-inch dick.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is about, actually. So, yeah, he probably looked like Liam Hemsworth. One night he was over, and I came out of my room probably to pee or something like that. And I was walking down the hallway back to my room, and he walked out of their room. He was wearing tidy whities, but they were red, and he had a boner. And I just remember seeing it in the hallway and being like, no, I didn't see like the flesh part.
Yeah, no.
But I was just like, ugh. And I didn't understand it really at the time. And I just knew I didn't like it, but I wasn't traumatized by it or anything. And then I just went to bed. But I'll never forget that.
So that is a transformative thing when you see a boner for the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, I have yet to see one in my life.
When
but...
you see your first boner, it's supposed to be your dad's.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my dad showers fully clothed.
He showers in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
I should do a positive one next, but go ahead.
One of the most transformative, the moment that I will never, it was almost I'm not going to do a negative one because I know the negative one and I just don't want to get into negative.
You only
stuff.
Have one?
No, I mean, yeah, like I have
you don't have to do that one, but you can do, I mean,
no,
okay.
I have two moments that I was never the same afterwards. Okay. I'll do the funny one.
Okay.
Because it's a podcast and we're here to entertain.
That's true.
So my friend, Mike Gilligan, I don't know why I say his full name, but when we were 11, he got a hot box. His family had a hot box, which is like...
What is that?
It's basically this thing that, like, if you talk to the cable guy and give him extra money, he...
Oh.
Yeah, he
hooks... I was picturing a sauna.
No, he hooks up, like...
all the channels.
All the channels.
Right.
So you have, like, all the porn channels. So we had this sleepover, like, when we were 11, and we were just watching Spice, but, like, 11...
But real Spice.
Like, Spice Channel.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, like, hard sex, and we're...
That gave me, like, butterflies in my stomach just hearing that.
Yeah, it was, like, we were just watching uncensored sex. Like, me, Mike Gilligan, Sean Malowich, and I think Jack McDonald. There's four of us. And we're all watching it, getting like little boy wood, but not knowing what to do with it because we're like 11 years old and we're just watching it. We're watching it repeatedly. Like, we watched it for like 4 hours straight because like Mike's parents were like out.
Right.
So they came home at 1.
You're like watching the full plot of these movies.
Yeah, we watched like four movies back to back to back. Like...
you're like hard and then you're like the butler did it.
Yeah, we were like 10 or 11 and like every time there was a hard dick we'd all like look away.
Yeah.
And then be like, who looked? And then like but it was like the first time we ever saw sex, so it was just like jarring. But his parents came home at like 1:30 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And we were busted. Unlike our nuts.
Right.
And so we changed the channel really quick to Mortal Kombat.
Had you masturbated yet at 11?
No,
okay,
no.
Me neither.
Yeah, I didn't.
I was a late bloomer.
Me too. Yeah. But I made up for lost time.
Gross.
And, yeah. So we were watching, we turned the channel and Mortal Kombat was on.
Uh-huh.
And then, like,
and you all just splooged immediately.
I mean, truly, I think this is why like sex is tied in.
Did you finish him?
No. I feel like maybe this is why sex is tied into jokes in my head.
Yeah.
Is because we flipped the channel and we were so busted. Just 4 11-year-olds with like little tiny boners. And we were like, we're watching Mortal Kombat for the 7th time. And then we all tried to, like, quote the movie.
Were they questioning you?
No. We were just, they just walked in.
You were so guilty.
So guilty. And we're like, Johnny Cage, fight.
Oh, man.
So in my mind, like, that is like a moment where I was just like, okay, well, sex leads to getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
And like, but you're always away. You can always talk yourself out of it with just funny things.
Yeah.
And that is a formative experience in my life. I think about it a lot.
Wait, what was the funny thing you talked your way out of it with?
By pretending
to Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat. We tried to sync up our voices to Mortal Kombat to prove that we've watched it 7 times in a row. And like, I truly think like his parents came in and they were probably like, when they went upstairs, they're like, so they were all jerking each other.
Yeah.
Off
out there. Right. Sean, I've said this before. Whitney Houston has said it before. Our kids are the future, and it's our job to prepare them for that. We got to empower them to be creative, confident, and fearless in all their endeavors. You know how I'm always saying this to you?
You are always saying this to me, but I thought you were talking about me, not kids.
No,
you're always like, Sean,
kids,
you should be fearless.
No, it's too late for you. But we can help our kids with something called KiwiCo. Do you know about KiwiCo?
I do. We got this. It was amazing.
It's great. It's a subscription box, much like your FabFitFuns or your Trunk Club, where these subscription boxes are so fun. You know, the idea is you get this thing in the mail. You don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be worth way more than you paid for it.
Yeah,
right?
And it creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about.
This is a kid subscription box.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's a kid subscription box. And it creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make learning about STEAM fun. Do you know what STEAM means?
No, what?
Science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that.
There are 7 lines to choose from for kids of all ages, from 0 to 104.
That's definitely a typo.
Is it? No, I think it's right.
You kids of all ages, 0 to 104?
Yeah. But if you're 105, you won't be able to handle it.
They have all different kinds of crates too: Panda, Koala, Kiwi, Atlas, Doodle, Tinker, and Eureka crates.
And
do
if
you think Eureka has something to do with invention?
Because
go, Eureka!
Each box comes with all the supplies needed for that month's project, a detailed, easy-to-follow instruction kit written for kids, an educational magazine to learn even more about that crate's theme, and you can do it together, which is awesome. Psychologists say, the happiest you can be is when you work on a project together and complete it. That is the happiest that humans can be. So do it with your kid.
KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want to be. There is no commitment. You could cancel any time. Monthly options start at $16.95 a month, including shipping.
For our listeners, go to KiwiCo.com/2dads. That's KiwiCo.com/2dads to get your first month free. Again, go to KiwiCo.com/2dads. That's KiwiCo.com/2dads and get your first month project free. That's KiwiCo.com/2dads.
What have you learned that you need to be looking for that you would tell someone else? What have you learned that people should be looking for in their spouse, mother, partner? Like, what have you learned? Like, if you were going to tell your son or maybe if you had a son, what to look for in the person that they're going to create life with?
Oh, like what good qualities are you looking for?
Or bad qualities to stay away from.
Okay. You go first.
Okay. I mean, truly, like, I already think I've raised a mother boy, or my wife has raised a mother boy. So
what does that mean?
You know, like, it's an Arrested Development thing where Buster.
Oh, I thought it was a kung fu movie.
No, Buster's a mother boy. Like, it's a mama's boy, but it's a funnier way to say mama's boy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I feel like, and I was one.
Uh-huh.
So I almost feel like he's just going to marry someone like my wife anyway. So there's nothing really I can do. There's no advice I could give him. Because
he's two.
I just know it.
You already gave up.
I've given up. He's a mother's boy.
You know, it's too late. Yeah, you know, by the time they're two, they're fully formed.
Yeah, he's already engaged. yeah, I mean, truly, like, I can't...
I think what he's asking you is what's great about Aaron.
Right.
Right.
But everything's great about Aaron. That's why I'm saying that I think, like, he's already made up his mind and, like, he's going to marry someone like his mom. Like, the things that I like everything about Aaron, mm-hmm. which is... easy to say, but like there's also things that she does that I don't think she likes that I like it, where like I'm not a self-sufficient human being, mm-hmm. but she helps like fill in all of the gaps in my like how to survive.
Uh-huh.
She keeps me alive, which I am very thankful for, because there are just things I don't know, but I hope in my heart of hearts that Nolan knows how to do all those things I don't know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say this, I don't know how to do laundry.
You're talking about tasks.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, laundry as a whole is something I talk about in therapy a lot, because I see piles of clothes and it makes me go insane.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at
a dirty pile of clothes,
where in my head, I'm like, I could clean all of this, but then it would just create another pile of dirty clothes eventually. So what's the point of having clean clothes? Because they're just going to be dirty. And then my therapist is like, that's insane. And I'm like, I know. I feel like I'm a nihilist. And then that's what we mostly talk about.
our therapies are so different.
Yeah. Mine are mostly just all of my stress and anxiety from tasks.
Right.
So I hope he's better at tasks and can find a partner who doesn't have to fill in the gaps. But Erin's perfect because she fills in the gaps and she's lovely as a human being.
Right. That's nice. I would say that... I'm going to give the much more serious answer.
I know.
But, okay, so...
We're a yin and a yang, Julian.
I know.
You're wearing a Batman shirt.
He's the most serious comic book character there is.
I know. He's a man with no...
You're Ant-Man.
I am Ant-Man. I'm small and I like to make jokes. And you're Batman.
Yeah.
A man who's never gotten over his dark past.
So I would say that this is the kind of answer that annoys people, but it's not about what you look for in another person first. I would say that my biggest regret in life is not addressing and taking on full speed ahead, face first, what I knew my issues were, because what happens is when you don't know why you do the things you do, but they're always bad patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're never happy in relationships or whatever. If you know that something's wrong and you're not doing anything about it, you're going to pay for it. And I paid for it with a terrible marriage. And I would say that before you worry about what's in somebody else, make sure that you are that you feel healthy, that you feel like you have boundaries in your life, that you when you want to do something, you're able to do it. That you don't find yourself like drinking for no reason, or you know, that you're not like running from something that's missing, and to actually sit with yourself and be like, do I feel like something isn't working inside? And if it isn't, that's great, that's fine. You're a human being. You know, I'm a proponent of everybody should be in therapy. I don't think anybody's perfect. So, you know, it has nothing to do with like you're crazy. I mean, that's such an old timey way of looking at it. But I would say like talk to somebody, tell them about the patterns in yourself that you're like not quite sure why they're not panning out the way that you want. Because you don't want to get caught up with someone, because what happens is we absolutely look for people that are unhealthy the way we are familiar with.
100%. And here's what I, as someone who's known you for 15 years now, 15 years, is you, for the first time since I've known you, are aggressively yourself now.
Uh-huh.
And like, as this is me, like I've always kind of been aggressively myself.
Yeah.
But you would, I would.
You were so aggressively yourself, you had to stop drinking.
Yeah. I still am way too comfortable with who I am, where like, that's why I could, therapy's trying to help me with like getting rid of like how I don't want to make the joke every time, but I still do. Anyway, I'll be fixed one day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I watch you through all these. I would say
phases.
No, terrible relationship. And you would like you would kind of change yourself a little bit each time, and now like I feel like you're more stable and like you're aggressively yourself.
That's actually literally happening right now. And this is a good time to plug I read a lot of self-help. I haven't brought it up on the show, but I'm going to start doing it because I think that our listeners could use it. And I think that not all of them are bullshit. Some of them are really helpful. The one that you are touching on that I'm reading right now is called No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Gavin, but I could be wrong about that. Sorry. Anyway, but it's called No More Mr. Nice Guy, and that sound it's a terrible title, but it's
It's real bad.
It is.
Yeah, you could do better, Dr. Robert.
But basically,
Butthouse.
But basically, he does touch on the bottom line of the book is. Nice quote unquote. He doesn't mean nice guys. Like it's not one of those books that's like stop being a pussy and take what you want. It's not like that.
Okay, good.
It's not at all.
Thank
like
God, because I will say that's what it seems like. But that's if
from
I'm
the,
just
from the title.
Yeah, from the title. But don't judge a book by its title. That's what I always said.
Yeah, Grapes of Wrath. There's like no grapes. So the premise is basically. Nice guys, quote unquote, nice guys that are guys who, as children at an early age, were taught that their needs were either made them bad or were not important. So they figured out that asking for what they need was not okay. And
that's what makes a nice guy.
Well, I'll show you how.
Well, because in my mind, I'm like America's sweetheart. And then my whole thing is...
Nice is sarcastic, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just nice regular. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine.
Well, cool. No, I think you are one of these guys, but we'll see.
No, because my needs always came second because I was a uniter, not a divider in my house.
That can still be. Well, why don't you listen?
I would take on my mommy's feelings, according to my therapist.
I like how this thing started to touch on something, so you just were like, interrupt.
Yeah, that's what I do. This is why my therapist can never know I have a podcast, because I undo everything she tried to open up inside of me.
Are you curious where this is going?
Yes! My God! Tell me more about the books you read, Julian.
See, it's a good thing we're close friends, because a regular person would think you were being extremely rude.
No, and I'm not.
I get it. You're just terrified.
Yeah.
So, a nice guy doesn't think, as a child, because of an either overcritically parent or an abandoned or a neglectful parent, thinks that their needs aren't important, right? Mm-hmm. So instead of asking for what they need as they get older, it's still a need. So it's not like it's going to go away if you ignore it, right? Mm-hmm. You still need to get it met. But we feel like we're not allowed to talk about it, and we're not allowed to say it out loud because it'll either get ridiculed, ignored, or criticized. Mm-hmm. So instead, we end up employing these weird, crazy, like sideways ways of getting our needs met. And one of the ways is like covert contracts, where you're like, you convince yourself, and this is a childhood logic, so it doesn't work when you get older, and it just ends up ruining all of your relationships.
Yeah.
But you're like, I don't want to make waves. I want everything to be smooth. I don't want there to be drama. Why can't we all just get along? But what ends up happening is, because the world is not like that and people are not like that and conflict is natural, right?
Yeah.
If you never stand up for yourself, if you never say what you are or who you are, and you're always just trying to be what the other person needs so you don't fight,
yeah,
you end up losing who you are.
Exactly.
Right?
I would say that was who you were in your marriage a little
That's
bit.
That's why this
yeah.
came up.
Yeah,
right now
because you used to dress.
We've been having a conversation.
Yeah, like now you're wearing your Batman shirt like you used to. Like I feel like when you were married, you dressed kind of like you were a Lutheran millionaire. Like it was like it was always just short of a turtleneck, but you were so close to a turtleneck.
Do you
want to
know? You know, I mean, this is occurring to me right now, but I know what I was doing. I was wearing like a comfy fuzzy sweaters and mm-hmm. like you know shawls and shit
and
like
on,
that
and on stage you were like you know what's adorable and
yeah.
like that's not who you are Julian who you are is you're a scumbag gentleman
exactly. But so I realized now what I was doing which I felt so unbelievably unsafe in that marriage like I was emotionally felt like I could never express how I felt not even close and I didn't have any safe places to go. I would sit in the car and listen to Phil Collins. That was like mm-hmm. how I would deal with it, right?
Yeah.
And so I was wearing these like sweaters so I could feel like some kind of comfort or like connection to like when I looked in the mirror, I'd hope to see a man that I would feel safe like getting a hug from. Like that was like what I was doing. Before Cosby got found out, I was like Cosby sweatering myself.
You kind of were. You were dressing like an 80s sitcom dad.
I was.
Because that's like, in a way, I guess comforting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was losing who you were.
I know.
And you are... Like, you're a guy who's supposed to be talking about dicks and pussies.
That's right.
And then, like, in that, you're
I also love
like,
a butthole.
Yeah, you're like, let me tell you about the Babysitter's Club. I'm a weird guy.
That's a great bit.
It's a great bit. A great bit. And honestly...
I stand by the Babysitter's
Club. No, that was a good bit.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
But you're right. I remember in my stand-up even, I was like, what am I even talking about?
No, because like the beauty of... Because
I was terrified to talk about the truth, which is, well, when you're married and you have a kid, you can't really go on stage and be like, I'm dying inside.
No, that is true.
So basically, let me just finish this nice guy thing out and then we can move on. But you do these covert contracts because you're not allowed to just say to somebody, I need you to, for example, I need from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night, I need to go do stand up. And you have to deal with that. That's a need that mm-hmm. you're expressing to somebody. Instead of doing that, I would do something like do like all the chores. Just every day. Just all the chores. Wouldn't have anyone do anything else. And this isn't just in my marriage. This is like my whole life I've been like this.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'll just like overdo it in some random fucking way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to know that when without me asking for it, what I need in return.
Yeah.
And I've done it. I've done this shit for you. So now you have to do the thing for me and you need to know what it is. And I haven't communicated to you at all. And so what ends up happening is you start resenting the other person because they're not meeting your needs. They don't understand you or why you feel angry or sad ever. And then you never actually express being angry or sad directly. So it's like the whole thing is a fucking mess. And this book, I only started reading it like 3 weeks ago. And it has completely like changed. Like I'm just saying what I need now. I don't care anymore because I'm too old and I'm not living the rest of my life like that.
No.
But there is some fallout. And Meg's having, you know, she's still dealing with like the nice guy shit.
She doesn't like Big Dick Julian walk around.
I need some head. One of the best things about her is that she has been saying this to me from day one. She's like, sometimes I feel, she hasn't. She's never been abusive in any way, not even close, but she'll call me out on the truth all the time and she'll be like, how come sometimes I feel like I don't know who you are? Like, how come you will always just do what I want to do, or you'll have a similar opinion, or you'll whatever. It's like, just tell me what you need. Tell me. She had to convince me to fart in front of her. I wouldn't do it forever. And she was like, you're not leaving this room until you fart right now.
But that makes me happy to hear, because
she wants Big Dick Julian. Yeah. She wants gentleman's slime bag.
Hey, Julian, I'm stressed.
What's the matter, buddy?
Oh, work got me down.
Oh, man, you know what would really help with that?
What?
Meditation and liquor.
How does meditation work? I can never do it. Every time I try to do it, like, my brain's like, stop this.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, you're not supposed to be able to just, like, meditate perfectly right away. Like, you're not going to just, like, clear your mind. That's insane. It's so hard to do that.
Is there any way I could learn?
Yeah. You could Simple Habit is an app that is really, really effective. They're guided meditations, so you don't have to worry about just like sitting there and wanting to crawl out of your own skin. You have somebody talking you through it, and a lot of time. And they also have Simple Habit has like so many different meditations for specific tasks in your life that you want to do. If you're trying to write, if you're trying to work out, if you're trying to listen better, they have targeted meditations for different problems in your life that'll really help you. You know, you meditate for 5 minutes using Simple Habit, and you can focus on – you can meditate on something you have to do that day, and then that task will be done so much better with a clearer mind. It's really great. But yeah, you don't have to worry about your brain going crazy. That's like what it's about. You just focus on your breathing. Mm-hmm. And then every time you're not supposed to do it right all the time. So anytime you feel like you're doing it wrong, you just go, I'll start over. And then you start over. And then if it happens immediately, you just go, I'm going to start over. And then you start over. And you just keep doing that. And if you just say, I'll start over 5,000 times in 5 minutes, you'll open your eyes and still feel better.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can't get it wrong.
So it'll help me write.
The only way you get it wrong is not doing it.
Okay. So it'll help me write. It'll help me.
It was founded by this lady, Yuna Kim, and she was unsatisfied. Okay. Well, Simple Habit has it's a really great app. It's developed by this woman who wanted better apps out there and couldn't find any to help her meditate. She realized there should be like a database of different meditations with different voices, and you know, so you can scroll and find somebody that you really want to hear when you're trying to meditate on different topics, different lengths, all that kind of thing. So she basically took that, put them all together, and this app is like the one-stop shop you need for meditating. It's fantastic.
But right now, for your two dads listeners, you could go to simplehabit.com/2dads. That's the number 2 dads. So if you need help with meditation like I do, go to simplehabit.com/2dads. That's the number 2 and dads to get the offer. 30% off premium subscription for the first 50 listeners. Simplehabit.com/2dads, the number 2 dads. Simplehabit.com/2dads, the number 2 dads.
You guys should go do it, and Sean, you should do it, buddy.
I need to.
All right, this is the last one. This is really good.
Okay.
I mean, what we've done so far is really good. How do you prevent the passing on of your demons to your children?
Mm.
I mean, this is something that I think I definitely am working on in therapy, is addressing my true demons. Mm-hmm. Or like getting out, like, and basically, here's the ultimate truth is that, like, everyone's parents just fuck them up in different ways, and like mm-hmm. then you have to just unpack all of the ways that they fucked you up and stuff. So like I think with my kid, I'm trying to do the opposite of what my mom, because like my dad, like he did not fuck me up in any way, because he, as my therapist said after like 3 months of going there, I mentioned my dad, and she's like, that's the first time you ever mentioned your dad.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he's kind of not there. Yeah. So like, but like my mom just did all this fucking stuff. So I'm trying to not do that with Nolan. And I do find myself falling into those traps where,
can
like...
Can you name one specifically?
Yes, of course. So, like, if I'm like, give me a hug, and he goes, no. And I'm like, but that makes me sad. And then I'm like, oh, I'm putting guilt on him. And then once that guilt is placed on him, even though he's 2 and not, like... He's already packing it into his head that guilt exists and stuff like that.
It's not even just that. It's that he will now learn to hug people when he doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
To make them not feel bad.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know, so that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's good that you're aware of it.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. So I'm trying to not do that. Like, but that truly, like...
What you could do... But you know what you could do instead? And he can't talk right now, right? But,
yeah.
But you could say... Give me a hug. I want a hug. And if he doesn't want to, say that a nice thing to do, Nolan, is use your words and say, I don't really feel like a hug right now, but it's not personal.
Yeah, I don't think that's our relationship right now.
I'm saying down the line. Down the line. Because a lot of times people don't express it, and then and then people have bad feelings and they project and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
but if you just teach them, it's totally okay to be like, I just don't feel like it right now, but you're okay and I'm okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that, because that is just the opposite of how I would do things.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to recalibrate who you are as your as a person. I'm 34 and I'm like, feel like I'm set in my ways, but I am working on it. So it would be great to have an actual conversation with my child.
Another shout out for that. It's called reparenting. You reparent yourself. And the holistic psychologist is on Instagram. She's a psychologist in Philly, based in Philly, which I love because she has the fucking hoagie. Yeah, she has hoagie mouth.
Yeah.
And she teaches techniques about how to do that when you realize what you want to change about yourself and how to do it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. It's very good.
But I'm not going to listen to some fucking Philly trash.
She doesn't have a bunch of... She has tattoos, but they're not... She doesn't have any, like, neck tattoos or anything like that.
Is what you need to do. You got to go to Wawa. Get water.
So I think what I'm getting is your answer is you're figuring out what yours are right now.
We're figuring out, and I'm like, readdressing those things with him. Like, I'm trying to undo all of the things in myself so I don't do that to... I don't pass it on.
If I had to...
Because everything with me is just death and guilt. Right. Guilt and death. I've just been... I've been drowning in death and guilt since I was a kid, which my therapist says is not as normal as I thought.
And, I've been drowning in guilt, not death, but guilt. Yeah,
death. My mom used to make me go to a lot of funerals, even though I didn't want to, and I asked her not to. She would take me to funerals. I didn't even know the people needed to cheat.
What? It was like yard sales?
She'd drive like, the neighborhood. Steal their rings. My family is
And then
a
yell
large,
at you for not crying.
my family is a large Irish Catholic family. So there's
somebody's
just,
always dying.
Yeah, there's just hundreds, and they're all dying.
Yeah.
They're all... Yeah, it was really, but I would always have to go, and it fucked me up. So death and guilt are like my main two things, and I'm trying to make sure that Nolan never finds out about death.
Right.
There you go. I rolled my eyes when I said that.
Yeah.
But like with guilt, I'm definitely not trying to put any of that guilt that I have about everything on him.
That's good. That's good. And you're not going to raise him Irish Catholic, so it's like that's going to be do a lot of it.
No, he's going to be Armenian.
And they don't feel any guilt. The only advice I would give you directly as someone who knows your family relationship, I would say look into boundaries. Boundaries are the biggest part that a lot of people don't know. And that's how you've get the most fucked up.
Very true.
Having them.
Here's the beauty of boundaries. What I found out about boundaries, I think last weekend, is with boundaries, you don't have to tell the person that you've set a boundary. You can just set it in your brain.
Yeah, you can just, but you have to enforce it.
Yes, and I have been doing that with my mom, and it has been great. She sends text messages, I don't respond, and I feel nothing. So if you're listening to this, Mom, keep texting. I'm not responding, but I will call you twice a week. That's a promise.
There you go. That's a good boundary.
I set boundaries.
That's a really good boundary, and the famous quote is, people who don't respect boundaries feel like a boundary is an insult or an attack when it's not at all. You're just saying, don't cross this line.
No.
And then they go, why are you attacking me?
Yeah.
And that's what you got to ignore.
I know. It's also hard not to feel attacked. I will say that.
Well, that's because you're so attackable.
I know.
You got one of those attackable faces.
I know. It's just like, hey, punch me.
So my demon that I don't want to pass on is what we were just talking about. I think that I need to hurry up. I might even already be a little too late on this. I need to hurry up and be myself all the time in front of the girls so they know where I stand and they know that they don't have to guess or try to figure out what I need or what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? Because that makes them crazy.
And do you feel like you mentioned earlier that when Goldie's feeling a sort of way, she talks in different voices?
Yeah.
Do you almost feel that is similar where she's...
I think the reason she uses voices is because she also feels like she isn't allowed to express how she really feels and doesn't feel safe. I hope... That's not the case in my house. I think it might be the case in her mom's house. And I think that's where that's coming from.
And that sucks. But at least she'll be a groundling one day.
So I'm really working on her, feeling like it's okay to talk about her feelings.
What are the voices?
They're just like weird high-pitched or like... she'll scat and stuff like that.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Like David Lee Roth?
Kind of. Skibbity-bop.
He famously, that was anytime he was feeling something, he would scat.
Yeah. It's when you think about it, it's really sad. So, yeah, I think the important thing is to model for the girls that you can express your needs directly and get them met and have boundaries and be yourself. So those are the things I didn't do for so long. And I don't want to pass that on.
Yeah.
Thanks for sticking with us for this very special episode of Your Two Dads. We want to thank all our listeners. You guys are out there, and I realized from some of the reviews, we are not that easy to communicate with. So let's remind people.
Yeah.
You can talk to us at Sean O'Conns or at Jules Mack on Twitter. We don't have a Your Two Dads Twitter account.
No.
But you can talk to us individually, ask us anything, you know, whatever, we'll talk about it on the show. You can also email us at yourtwodadspod@gmail.com with diaper bag questions. And if you give us a 5-star review and tell us what you like about the show and then ask a question, we will also answer those.
Absolutely.
So, help us out and we want to hear what you're going through.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I was just looking. I have the Atlanta Punchline the first week of November.
Okay. That's coming up.
Yep. And I was just at Bananas in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey.
Oh, the old retro punch.
Yeah.
Plug.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
But it was great shows, and I miss New Jersey. It was fucking awesome being around those people.
That's where the Sopranos live.
Yeah.
Lived. For Julian McCullough, I'm Sean O'Connor. Thank you for listening.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.